Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Colossians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, titled, If Ye Continue. This is part 2 of 2.
It's like this. You've got God's hand of protection over you, but the more you sin, the more you go away from Him, He's not leaving. You are. And you're opening yourself up to the consequences. That's on a daily, practical level in your life. And if you understand the terror of the Lord, it's not that God's up there saying, I just can't wait to smash somebody. No, the terror of the Lord is who He is. The terror is in the fact that He is holy, without sin, and can't stand sin in His presence. And you choose sin for yourself. That's the terror of the Lord. That's why He says if you continue in the faith, then you have nothing to worry about. Well, how am I supposed to do that, preacher? Maybe you're asking that. How do you continue in the faith? Well, it's right there. Go back to Colossians 1 there. How do I continue in the faith? The next few words. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. You see, once you're saved, you're a newborn baby. Little baby. And we've got Benaiah here that qualifies. Now, he's allowed to mess his britches. You're not. Right? Come on, say amen. I'll make sure you got that clear. Why? Because he was just born a little while ago. Some of you have been around a few decades. See? Now, I have to say this. I know I'll get an email. There are some exceptions, I know. And as you get older, you might need a Depends or something like that. But stick with my illustration for a moment. That baby is going to continue to grow. Mom and dad are grounding the baby and settling the baby in the realities of life. To such an extent, there will come a day where, like everyone else, the baby starts to go to the restroom. The baby will be able to eat without wearing all of its food. All those things happen. And that's how you have to view yourself. First of all, you have to be saved. You must be born again. You have to repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe that He died and paid for your sins, was buried and rose again, conquering sin and death. But at that moment, you're now a babe. And you've got to grow. And if you have not been growing, then your growth is stunted and you're still a baby. I don't care how many years you've been saved. I don't care how old you are. You're stunted. We are saved by grace. Now work at being grounded and settled. Now I've heard some guys preach against this. They'll say, no, it's all by grace. Now, I'll grant you that if it wasn't for grace, there would be no growth because you're saved by grace in the first place. But, what's it say in the Bible? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. That means you're a person who works. You can't be a workman if you're not working. Amen? Now, we used to joke about it. I worked for the state. And we used to say, we're not workers, we're employees. Because a lot of them didn't work. Pulled a paycheck, but they didn't work. As a Christian, you're to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. John 6:28-29, they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. You're saved. Now, belief ought to become action. Fruit. not to be saved, but because you are saved. The words in our text is, if ye continue. That's an action verb. Doing something. Acts 26:20, but he showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance, not to be saved, but because they're now saved. Amen. Now that you're saved, it's time to get busy. I'm quoting up here, but Jesus said in one of the parables he told it, occupy till I come. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's what? Of what sort it is. See, because we don't believe salvation is by works and that we don't believe works can do anything to help people get saved, that causes people to throw works out the window. Well, we're supposed to be His workmanship. That means that the works we're talking about are the evidence of what God's doing in you. And if there's no evidence for it, it just means God's not doing anything in you. Why isn't God doing anything in you? It's all your fault. If God's not doing anything in you, it's not because He doesn't want to. But God will only work in a willing vessel. 1 Corinthians 3:14 and 15, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We'll work till Jesus comes. One last one here, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Grace results in works. Amen. And verse 23 continues, back in Colossians 1. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Our relationship and our reward is rooted in our hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn to Romans 1, and of course, you're going to keep Colossians 1 open, but we're going to read a couple of times here in Romans 1, so after I read this, don't close the page. But Romans 1:16 is one you ought to memorize. It ought to be underlined in your Bible. Romans 1:16, I want to give you a second to get there. I want you to read it with me. Verse 15, Paul says, so, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Read verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That is where our hope begins. That's the foundation of our hope. If you're saved, you should have hope. If you're saved, you have hope. It's the power of God unto salvation. Now keep your finger there. This is just a quote I love from Peter Ruckman. He says, those who abide by this hope will come out of the judgment seat of Christ holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. To accomplish this, the Christian must die daily, 1 Corinthians 15:31, and mortify the deeds of the body, Romans 8:13, and keep his affections on things above. Paul found this impossible to do 24 hours a day. You can read that in Romans 7:15 to 24. I call it the do-do passage, where I do the things I don't want to do and don't do the things I want to do. But he worked at it and fought for it like a Wehrmacht Schützen. I'm glad you asked. That was a German infantryman who ate, slept, and drank that gun that he used in battle. That's the way we ought to be with our sword. Amen. The book. which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. And we're going to close with this in a few more words here, but I think it's important to understand this. Obviously, it is, or God wouldn't put it in the verse to begin with. Amen? What's that mean? We talked about this a few weeks ago. Believers have heard it, and the rest of the world is seeing it in creation. Do you know that? When you talk to an unsaved man or woman, no matter how obstinate, and even if they have some what sound like great arguments, all of that is driven by a desire to reject the witness that they're seeing with their own eyes in creation. I told you to stay over in Romans 1. The lost man has the witness of conscience and creation. Every lost person you share the gospel to, you know two things. That he knows. That's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. And that he can see. And even folks like Martha, they may not see with their eyes, but they can see. Yeah. Just ask her. She can describe some things to you and probably give better detail than some of us would. But in Romans 1, beginning verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them," conscience. "For God hath showed it unto them," seeing it in creation. Read verse 20 with me. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Let's count the ways. We attend funerals, but then we see births, death, and resurrection, what they call the cycle of life. Every human being sees the death, burial, and resurrection in funerals and births. You don't believe me? Watch the DVD that Brother Charles has on Freemasonry. The whole thing is based on that regenerative principle. And I witnessed to a Mason one time, and I asked him if he had ever been born again. And he looked me eyeball to eyeball, and he said, "I am born again in my children, and I have eternal life in my children and my grandchildren." That's the pagan idea that is in almost all other religions. And that will be a witness against them when they stand before God. They saw the cycle, as it's called. They saw death, burial, and resurrection pictured. You see it with winter, everything dies, and then spring, everything comes alive. You see it with the sunset. Strangely enough, it's a beautiful thing where we live. We see a lot of beautiful sunsets. And then in the morning, you'll have to take Jenny's word for it because I'm not up. She is. Beautiful sunrises. Amen. You know, every time you go to sleep and then wake up, you're seeing a picture God gave you of death and resurrection. Amen. Why do you think they say it when somebody dies? They're sleeping. And there's more. But pagans counterfeit these pictures of the gospel. Just do your research. You'll find it in the New Age movement and all these secret societies. They always, to become a member of Skull and Bones or any of these secret societies, they put you in a coffin. And then they raise you from darkness to light, they say. Which is blasphemous, especially if it's a professing Christian going through that garbage. But that's what it means. And God knows those who will believe. I'm telling you, I believe biblical. I believe this is the way it works. You talk about, what about that guy who lives out in, you know, the middle of Iceland? There aren't any churches up there, down there in Africa, or wherever. I believe that if they respond to their conscience and to what they see in creation, God, who knows the minds and spirits of all men, will get the gospel to that person. I think there's been guys sitting in the middle of Kansas who all of a sudden, in the middle of a church service, had the urge to go to Uganda. Why? He has no idea. But he goes. And when he gets there, he finds Mfufu, who wanted to know the truth. Amen. And he got saved.
Amen.
That's what happened to our forefathers. My forefathers were, if the DNA stuff is right, was over in either Western Europe or England. And they were over there bowing down to idols and all kinds of pagan sunrise and sunset. I might even been involved in what's the stones over there? Stonehenge, yeah. All that crazy pagan nonsense. And then over comes Patrick. And he's preaching the gospel. And then comes some other guy. And even the apostles themselves, we have the stories of where they went all over the world preaching the gospel. Why did they go here? Why did they go there? God knows those who will believe. He'll get the gospel to them. And that's whereof I, Paul, made a minister. We close the verse out. Paul ate, drank, preached, sang, dreamt, slept the gospel. I want to be like Paul. I hope I don't get under your skin, because every time you come here, at least some point during the singing or the prayer or the Bible study, I talk about preaching the gospel, getting the tracts out and all that. But if I get under your skin, you're the problem. Because I'm nowhere near the pest that Paul would be up here. I sent out texts yesterday. Reminder, we're going to have our BBF feast, casseroles and salads. Paul would be like, did you preach the gospel to anybody today? Giving out gospel tracts? Every day. Maybe I'd start. I'd do that, but you'd block me. What was Paul's daily motive for doing this? This is where we'll close. I know you're getting hungry. The rapture or death at any moment. That was his motive. Look at Titus 2. Real quick, I promise. Titus 2. Right after Timothy. Verses 12 through 14. Paul is telling Titus what his motive is. Why did Paul spend his life, give his body over to the service of the Lord in preaching the gospel? Verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Read verses 13, 14 with me. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And I'm just trying to obey Paul's exhortation, verse 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's turn to page 25 in our praise book. My favorite songs to sing to myself or out loud. Sometimes I'll be singing out loud, especially when I'm in my car during the week, is to sing about Jesus coming back. Soon and very soon. And if you will start each day and continue your day looking for Jesus to appear, it will change your life for good. If you look at the great revival movements, the great pockets of revival, there was always this expectation. But see, in the past, it wasn't just the rapture. The life expectancy was about my age. People had large families, would lose several children. Very few people lived to a ripe old age. And because of that and the rapture, people would get excited to serve the Lord, get excited about preaching the gospel. Well, we're in the United States of America, 2000, what year is this? 18? Man, that sounds weird to even say. It's going to be 2020 before long. Prosperity. We're so prosperous that people are clamoring for free stuff and socialism. That's how prosperous we are. And health. I mean, I just read yesterday where they're now, they've implanted artificial lungs in pigs. And the pig's living now for months. That might be something I might even want to take, you know, advantage of one of these days with my problem. Not the pig, the lung. I'll take the pig now and the lung later. Amen? But it's because of that, I believe it's bred a lot of the complacency. It's almost like people are living too long. They get bored serving the Lord. Something. But there's always been that thing with prosperity killing revival. And people get mad at me for saying it, but I pray a lot of times, Lord, if it'll take economic collapse or something like that to wake people up and save souls, you got my amen. Yeah, the rich man in the needle tells a story right there how hard it is with prosperity. But I want to challenge you in your personal life. Revival is one person at a time. It's got to be you and God. I can't do anything for you. This groupthink thing, it just doesn't work. Evangelicals and fundamentalists have been having huge rallies. They'll pack stadiums and they'll sing really loud and have some good preachers, and then everybody goes back home, just came as they are and went home as they were. That's because revival is a one-person thing, and it's only seen in a community when a lot of single persons get right with God and are revived. Suddenly it becomes visible. But it's one at a time. And you can only do what you need to do. And so I want to challenge you with that as we sing. Go ahead and stand as we sing Soon and Very Soon, number 25.
Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah. waiting there. Jesus is waiting there. We are going to see Him. Jesus is waiting there. We are going to see Him. Jesus is waiting there. We are going to see Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going. We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Along with the encouragement of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.